If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. We need to learn to do that is necessary. Amen? That's our theme for the year. Right now we're working on doing that's necessary. Then we accomplish what is possible, and soon we can do the impossible. I don't know about y'all, but I'd like for the church to get back doing stuff folks says is impossible. Amen? Glory. You know, it used to be a common thing in the church to see somebody get a blessing that was impossible. People getting healed when it was impossible. For some reason, we become happy with getting by, and we're not seeing that anymore. And let's face it, you know, it's kind of like the story I've told you several times about the old man and lady riding in the pickup truck. She's over by the door, and he's driving. She said, you know, we used to sit next to each other. He said, I ain't moved. Hello? Well, the church can holler all they want to, but God's still where he always was, still doing what he always did. And if you ever go to third world countries that we feel sorry for, you find out something. God's moving there. They're seeing miracles. They're seeing God do great things because they don't understand he can't do it. They're not gotten smart enough to rationalize and say, no, God can't do this and God can't do that. They just believe it'll happen and it happens. Amen. And I wish we could get rid of some of our reasoning, because we try to rationale everything, and there's nothing rational at all about God. You can't rationalize how he got there. Can't rationalize how he made everything. I mean, you really think about it. He took nothing, made everything out of it. There's nothing rational about that. There was nothing. In the beginning, God. And he said, let there be, and everything started popping up. Lord, he took nothing, made everything out of it, hung it on nothing, told it to stay there, and it's still evolving just like he left it. Come on, church. Do you realize that we in the round we make around the sun is so precise that if we got off 1 degree, it could actually make us run into something we ain't supposed to run into. If the moon got off 1 degree going around the earth, it would eventually crash into the earth. But all of it for all these centuries has worked perfect because there's someone in charge. Hello? He's got it all working just like he wants to make it work. And it's going to stay that way until he gets tired of it working that way. And then he's going to say, it's all over with, and we're going to be in a new heaven, new earth. Oh, come on, church. That's some good stuff. Got nothing to do with a sermon. Amen. Matthew chapter 4. And then Jesus, led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command the three stones would be made bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And the devil taketh him up to the holy city and sitteth him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give the angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdom of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch, move, and minister in this house, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning? Glory. I want to talk to you this morning on the keys to overcoming temptation. Amen. Now, everybody tell you you're going to have temptation, and we all know you're going to have that. I had somebody tell me, now, if you live right, you won't. That's not what the Bible said. The Bible said the same things accomplished in the world be accomplished among the brethren. Meaning that I'm going to have times I'm going to go through things. And who do you think you are if the Son of God himself went through temptation? To think you ain't never going to have a problem, a trouble, or a trial. Come on, church. I like these TV preachers. I just don't like the preaching the stuff that ain't true. You know, to hear them tell it, you're going to be rich, never get sick, never have a problem. Well, why is it they get sick and they all the time asking for money? They don't even believe what they're preaching to you. Smile. That's good stuff. Jesus goes into the wilderness and he's there tempted. He goes on a 40-day fast. And after 40 days of not eating anything, Satan shows up. You ever notice Satan never tempts you in something he knows he can't whip you in? He's not going to come around when everything's going great and everything's going wonderful. He's going to catch you in a low moment while you're ebbing down, and he's going to come after you and do everything he can to get you to go. Come on, church. You ever been to that place where you sit there going, oh, one more word, and the devil's going, word. But Jesus is tempted of the devil. Why was Jesus facing these grueling 40 days of temptation out in the wilderness? First of all, it was to identify with humanity. Isn't it great to know that we don't have a God that don't understand what we're going through? Huh? The Bible tells me in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, for we have not a high priest who is not touched with the feelings and infirmities of the people, but was tempted in all things like as we, except without sin. You will never be somewhere he hasn't been. You will never face something he hasn't already faced. You will never come to a place he can't get you out of. And could you say amen to that, church? Glory. My favorite verse of scripture, and I quote it a lot to y'all, and y'all look at me, but it's still my favorite verse of scripture. Elishama Eliada Elaphiliat. Amen. Three names of the sons of David, but they give you a message. God hears, God knows, God will deliver. That doesn't say he might deliver. He possibly said he will deliver. Any way you look at it, you know what that means? That means no matter where I am, God's been there. He knows the way out. He's already tested it. And because he's been through it, he knows how to get me out the other side of it. And we need to understand there is no temptation coming upon me, but that is common to everybody. But God will not allow me to be tempted beyond that I can bear. But in all things, God will make a way of escape. Oh. Now, just so you get this, I think whoever wrote that word escape in the Greek was Southern. It's Southern Greece, because if you get that translation, it says be clean gone from. Glory. Hello? Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I like that. Ain't nothing coming on me that I can't be clean gone from it before it gets too bad. Somebody said, now, preacher, what are you talking about? You ever notice you buy a car, they give you specs, tells you how many pounds it'll carry, tells you how fast it'll go, how long it'll run on a tank of gas. If you buy a Buick, they lie to you. That's national news. They actually put the wrong thing on the windows. Now they changed the window stickers. I went by the other day, asked the guy, said, hey, what'd I get? So y'all lied to me because that other window sticker was on my car. He said, you can't prove it. I said, I keep my window stickers. He said, I'll buy you lunch one day. But the reality is, the builder of that car knows everything in that car, how it works, how it got there, the circuits it works off of. Well, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and so are you. Not anybody in this building's an accident. Come on, church, smile at me. Somebody said, what are you talking about? Nobody's here by accident. Well, they didn't mean to have me. It doesn't matter. They had you, and you weren't no accident. God put you on this earth for a reason and a purpose. Come on, church. Laugh. I'm not supposed to be here. My mama thought she was having problems and found out she was pregnant. I mean, she already had 7 kids. What'd she want with another? She had perfection. I showed up. Glory. And my daddy said, we had 7 kids, and then we had this other kid. Glory. Come on, church. Smile at me. But I wasn't an accident. I was fearfully and wonderfully made. The day I was born, God told my dad, this child will take your place and go where you couldn't go and do what you couldn't do. My dad, a backslid preacher, I took his place. And guess what? I am fearfully and wonderfully made just like you are. God designed me. God built me. He knows the specs. He knows what I can handle, what I cannot handle. And when I get into a problem, he's looking at the specs going, uh-oh, he's at a place right now. He's about to break. We got to get him out of there. Let's move him out. It's time to bring him to the other side. Send a little anointing and get him out of it. Come on, church. Some of y'all sitting there like, uh-uh, preacher, I've been broke. You've never been broke by anything God let you get into. If you're faithful to God, God will bring you out before it gets too deep. Could you say amen? Why? Because he's been there, done that, wore the t-shirt. Glory. But not only that, he also wanted to succeed where Adam had failed, thereby bringing victory over these things to every believer. Romans 5 and 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life, to show us how to overcome temptation and discover who we really are. Amen. Wait a minute, preacher, what are you talking about? You are more than what you used to be, and you're not identified by what you used to be identified by. Hello? Huh? Let me throw this at you. It won't cost you nothing, but this might be one of you want to just kind of sit down and think about. You will never be successful in life until you're happy with who you are. See, the problem some of you got is you ain't got no clue. You can't figure out who you are, where you're headed, what you're going to do. And because of that, you're constantly changing your mind on stuff, and you ain't got no dreams, you ain't got no reality, you don't know what you're going to do. But if you ever get to that place that you figure out who you are and what your purpose is in life, you're not going to find a way to be happier at anything you're doing. Come on, church. Amen. Why, preacher, you could have been this. When I come out of high school, they say, you can be anything you want to be. The problem was I didn't want to be nothing. They couldn't get that through the head. I didn't want to be a rocket scientist. I didn't, and the things I wanted to do, I couldn't. I wanted to be an airplane pilot. I better thank God that didn't work out. Could you see me in the F-16 flying by? Glory. We had a Church of God boy that was an F-16 pilot. He was living in Moulton. He buzzed a football field one night while he was on a training flight out of Birmingham. They busted two stripes off of him. But I couldn't pass the physical to fly an airplane because my knees was bad. I never understood that. I didn't need my knees to fly a plane. I didn't figure on having to jump out. Hello? But they said, you can be anything you want to be. But that's not true. I was designed to be what I am. And when I finally quit trying to swim upriver and try to go against the grain and got where God wanted me to be and started doing what God wanted me to do and figured out who I really was and what God wanted in my life, everything has been wonderful. Oh, I've not had it great. I've had problems. I've had trials. I've had tribulations. But in every situation, I've got a God who came and took care of me and brought me out. Could you say amen? But I'm not identified the way I used to be. You go back to high school, talk to somebody about me, tell them I'm your pastor, you liable to get a look on your face. Hello? First time I met my former principal, after I got saved, started preaching. What are you doing now? I said, I'm a preacher. This ain't being mean, it's just honest. I went and visited him in jail after he got locked up. Glory. This is the same guy told me I'd never amount to nothing. I had to ask God to forgive me because I took special happiness in going to visit him. So I had to ask God to forgive me because that wasn't right. But the reality is, that's where we are. I'm not identified the way I used to be identified. I'm not who I used to be. Why? Old things have passed away. All things become new. If you've gotten saved and the old things did pass away, you need to get back in an altar and get rid of some stuff. Come on, church. Amen. And then if you have been forgiven, then you need to forget it. Some of y'all hauling stuff around you should have got rid of a long time ago. If you've got a grudge in your heart, you ain't going to heaven. I don't care who it's against because you can't get forgiveness from them on the way up. Rex Taylor used to say you got a better chance of going to heaven with two bottles of whiskey in your back pocket than a grudge because you can drop the bottles, you can't get forgiveness. Smile. But I've heard somebody, I don't like them. Well, you know what? They'll sleep at night and you laying over worrying about you not liking them. You don't know what he did to me or what she did to me. It don't really matter. All that matters is for me to stay right with him. I got to be right with everybody around me. And so I got to get a hold of some stuff. Y'all remember a sermon I preached here one time called The Ministry of Forgettery? Amen. I know some of y'all look and say, what's forgettery? It's a word I made up. I can do that. I'm a preacher. Glory. How you think all them other words got in the dictionary? Somebody made them up. Glory. Forgettery, the opposite of memory. That is a ministry you can do for yourself. You don't have scripture for it. Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting about the past, I set my face toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So I'm telling you, that is scriptural for you to get rid of your past and forget about it. Come on, church. Every once in a while, you got to have a time when you get in an altar and say, it's gone. I'm not fooling with it anymore. That didn't happen anymore. It's under the blood. It's gone by. I'm forgiving and I'm forgetting. And don't give me that junk about you forgave somebody and ain't forgot. If you ain't forgot it, you've never forgiven it. Oh, I'm not on temptations right now, am I? But it's in the notes. How many of y'all old enough to remember typewriters? These kids ain't got a clue. They think a typewriter is that keyboard in front of that thing with a mouse beside it. I had one year. Y'all got to understand, 90% of what I preach, I typed. I can't read my own writing. Nobody else can either. That's good. But I type stuff, and I never forget. I got my first LED typewriter where I could type it, and it'd be running across in front of me, and I hit a button, and it'd type it out, and I'd type another line, it'd type it out. But what happened when you messed up in a typewriter? You know, on a computer, you got that thing, you don't even look because it'll automatically correct it for you. And sometimes it won't. It'll start blinking. You have to go back and try to fix it, and you just erase it and type it back in. Or go up and hit spell check, and it'll fix it for you. But when we had typewriters, you had to go get this little bottle, pull the top off, and paint that thing, and get it back down there. And wasn't it hard to get it on the same line again? And you had to let it dry so you could type back over the top of that stuff called whiteout. Amen. And we use that whiteout to get rid of them letters. Because it'd always be an indentation where the other one was because the typewriter made an indentation when it hit. But you'd have to use a whiteout. And there was nothing worse than having a mess up and knowing you didn't have whiteout. The trick was after you got through typing, you went and made a copy. So they didn't see all the whiteout spots. Glory. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? Listen, Psalms 51, verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness and according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Put some whiteout on them. Glory. Ninth verse. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out all mine iniquities. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Woo. Isaiah 43:25, I, is he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake and will not remember thy sins. You know what God said? Said, I didn't do it for you. I did it for me. I want a relationship with you, and it can't be there if there's sin there. So I'm going to get rid of your sin so we can have a one-on-one and we can be close to another. I didn't do it for you. I did it for me. Amen. And the great thing is God don't use white out. He used red out. Amen. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away our sins and that cast as far as the east is from the west, never to come back again. Could you say amen? Woo. Man, I got to quit doing this. I ain't even made the first thing here. Facing temptation. We know Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days, but nothing is said of what happened in those first 40 days. But then we find him being tempted. Satan comes to him. He's hungry, so he says, turn the stone to bread. Let's eat. And Jesus answered him, it is written. He takes him up on the pinnacle of the tabernacle. And he says, now, jump. Yeah, the angel's going to catch you. It's not a big deal. Now, in the spirit part of him, he could have jumped. But the fleshly man wasn't going to fly. But he looked at him and said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then Satan spins around and says, hey, carries him up on the mountain. Just to show you how stupid Satan is. I know some of y'all think he's smart. Oh, he's really wise. That's the dumbest one thing God ever created in his own life. I'm going to leave it alone. I almost said he was a musician because he was, but but he's so stupid. He tries to tempt you with stuff you shouldn't really be tempted with. But can you imagine how dumb he was? He takes Jesus up on the mountain and says, now I give you all this. He's talking to one that made it all. Here's the guy that put the pea in the pod, the corn on the cob, and made the water run over Niagara Falls. And he's sitting there going, if you'll worship me, I'll just give all this to you. It's already mine. Glory. Hello? You don't own it. You just did because Dad threw you out. And about that time, he says, get thee behind me. Church, every once in a while, y'all need to tell the devil, get where you belong. You don't belong up here. You don't belong beside me. You belong behind me. Matter of fact, just lay down. Let me jump on you. Hello? My Bible said, I shall put Satan under your feet shortly. Amen. You know what that means? Don't take God long to get him under your feet. Problem is keeping you on top of him. Amen. If you'll stay prayed up and on fire for God, you can tap dance on his head every day of your life and ain't a thing he can do about it. Could you say, oh, come on, church. That's good stuff. Amen. Listen, here's how we face our temptations. Number one, in the power of the Spirit. Y'all pray that I'll hurry through this. His Spanish don't start to 1:30, so we got plenty of time. The Bible said he was led in the Spirit. How? In the power. He was led in the wilderness by the power of the Spirit. He was in the power of the Spirit when he went in the wilderness. And let me tell you something, church. The best way for you to handle temptation in this world is to understand you can't handle it in yourself. The next time you think you can whoop Satan by yourself, understand something, you ain't got a shot. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And through the power, the anointing of the Spirit of God and the blessings of the Holy Spirit, you can overcome him. You say amen? Amen. Glory. Well, preacher, I'm not so sure. Listen, this is what Galatians 3:3 said. Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Huh? You have started out in the Spirit, needed the Spirit to get by. Now you think you're good enough, you don't need God. The sons of Sceva thought they cast out demons. They saw Paul do it. They had heard about Jesus doing it, and they got some guys down, cast the demons out of them, and they said, Paul we know, and Jesus we know, but who are you? Glory. In case you hadn't read the story, the demons didn't run away. The sins of Sceva run away naked. They took their clothes off and run them down the street because they tried to do it in the flesh. Hello? Listen, facing temptation on our own is like walking down the street in New York in the nighttime. I know none of y'all have ever been to New York in the nighttime, but if you have, realize something, that ain't a safe place to be. Amen. You walk down the street, especially downtown New York, downtown Manhattan, what they call Times Square. If you down there, you better be in a crowd, and you better hope somebody close by is packing. And if you ever get a chance to go up there, whatever you do, do not talk to anyone unless it's absolutely necessary, because two words out your mouth, they're going to know you ain't from there. Hey, it can work in your favor. I'm driving through one morning trying to get out to Long Island. I couldn't figure out which tunnel I need to get in or how to get to the road to go to it. I wheeled up in the service station. The door was open, so I walked in. That's unusual. I'm from the South. Back then, we didn't know what it was, how people locked up in the store at night. Now we do. I go walking in the door, and I said, I look, and these guns pointed at me from every corner. I'm standing there, and this big guy sat behind the counter. I said, I'm looking for Linton Hurst. That guy said, howdy doody, you like to got blowed away. Oh. Thank God the minute I said, I'm looking for Linton Hurst, they realized I wasn't from New York. And they figured I didn't drive from Alabama up there to rob them. Tr- trying to walk with the Spirit's like trying to swim one of the rivers in South America full of piranhas. You probably ain't going to make it to the other side. Hello? We need somebody with us who scares the devil, who causes him to tremble with fear. Somebody like the Holy Ghost, who has power to conquer him. Come on, church. So what are you talking about? The Holy Spirit is not just like God. He is God. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, all three in one. Amen. And that have just as much power on each entity. And the devil got threw out of heaven. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit were standing there and said, go! And he suddenly realized that he couldn't handle them. When you go from zero to 187,000 miles a second, you moving. So I said, now, preacher, no, 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 no. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning cast down out of the sky. He was like a streak of lightning when he clapped. And he's laying down there dusting off going, whew, that wasn't the right thing to say. Glory. He's been 6,000 years so dumb he ain't figured out. He's wiped out already. He thinks he's going to win. Glory. Come on, church. That's good stuff. Amen. But not only do we need the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we need the word. Notice when Jesus was confronted in the wilderness, he didn't jump up and say, I command you to stop. No, he said, it is written. Can I tell you, some of y'all need to learn the word of God. Quit talking about how I'm going to do this and that. You got to, I'm going to whoop a devil. You can't whoop the devil, but you can give him the word. And the word will put him on the run. Come on, church. Amen. Jesus said, it is written. And the devil began to back off. Come on, church. Jesus said, he's going to argue with him. He didn't try to reason with him. You ever seen people talk about they're going to reason with somebody? I remember one time I was at a church, and this lady came down for prayer, and the pastor was going to talk to this demon in her, and she started telling my son's got a chocolate demon. Now, how you know that? She said, he eats chocolate all the time. I said, well, I can't help you in this matter. Glory. I mean, I can't throw out like passion. Come on, church. It's not a joke. We got people that actually want to reason with them. Talk to them. Carry on conversation. That's not what you're supposed to do. You rebuke them in the name of Jesus and hit them with the word, and they shoot out down the road because they got nothing to talk back to. Come on, church. Jesus looked at him. He said, turn the stone to bread. He said, it is written. Amen. I like what E.V. Hill said one time. A devil knock on your door, open the door, quoting scripture, hit him right between the eyes with it. Amen. And if you'll hit him with the word of God, he'll head down the road because he cannot handle the word. But now don't get too carried away because he knows the word. Notice there was one time he told Jesus, it is written. I wonder how many times he's talked to you and said, hey, we got this thing down. I know what it says. It is written this. And you're going, oh, well, maybe this ain't that bad. Maybe I can do this because God expects it. He got you where he wants you. When he gets you to listening to the way he quotes scripture. Kind of like some preachers. They can tell you something that sounds good till you get to looking at it for a while. Come on, church. We got preachers standing in the pulpit today and tell you something that sounds good. Well, I tell you, all of us is kind of like Judas. We just can't help ourselves. And, you know, hey, if that be the case, we all need to go hang ourselves. Because the Bible said Judas went out and hanged himself by the neck till he was dead. You go a few scriptures over, said, go thou and do likewise. So if we're going to get one scripture over here and one over there and put them together, I mean, we could really get in trouble with that. You're supposed to go line upon line, precept upon precept. Don't skip from one book to the other. Read several verses and put them all together and see what they say. And it usually won't say what Satan wants you to think it says. Hello? Come on, church, let's get going. I don't know, for those that hadn't heard it, I'm going to tell this, but I worked at Northport Church of God with Brother Earl Hall. He had this habit of getting his hair cut at the barbershop. The two guys at the barbershop, deacons of the church there in town, and they believed all kind of stuff and different from us. I'm with him one day in the barbershop, and the preacher comes in. He said, just the man I'm looking for. Now, he wanted me because I was running a bus behind his church picking up kids. Kids he didn't care nothing about. They start getting on our bus, and then they were his kids. Never understood that. but he won't make me look like a fool. And at that young age as a minister, that wasn't hard to do. And I'm sitting there, and he walked in. He said, I'm going to be preaching Sunday on the Holy Ghost. I said, really? He said, yeah, but I want to run it by you. He said, do you believe that anything you cannot tangibly touch with your senses doesn't exist? Now, church, common horse sense says if I can't hear it, see it, taste it, smell it, or feel it, it ain't there. Some of y'all may have the sixth sense, but nobody else in the world does. So think about what you got. Nothing. I said, okay, I'll go along with that. He said, you ever saw the Holy Ghost? Now, church says scripture, but you've never saw the Holy Ghost. It's like a wind. You don't know where it come from, where it went to. You see the results as it passes by. That's in the Bible. So if I said, yeah, he would have got me. I said, well, no, I haven't. He said, you ever heard the Holy Ghost? I said, last night, there was messages and interpretation. No, without the use of a human voice. Have you ever heard the Holy Spirit? And I said, well, no, I have never heard the Holy Ghost without the use of a human voice. So you've never seen it, you never heard it. Have you ever felt him? I said, oh, yeah, I had them doodads last night. They'd run up down my back. He said, no, I didn't say he ever touched you. I said, have you ever reached out and touched him? I said, well, no. He said, okay, you've never seen him, you've never heard him, you've never felt him. He said, have you ever tasted the Holy Ghost? I said, no, I hadn't. He said, you ever smelled him? I thought I'd get him one shot. I said, he don't stink. By this time, I know I'm in trouble. He looks at me and said, well, by your own admission, sir, there's no such thing as the Holy Ghost in the world today. Brother Hall sitting there reading a paper, the guy clipping on his hair, he folds the paper, clears his throat. And that guy said, Brother Hall, yeah, Doc. He gets up, gets his coat, gets his notebook out. He said, I like that. I want to use that. He said, all right, if I use it Sunday myself. He said, well, yeah, I guess. He said, I got to get this down. Nothing, feelings, can't see, taste, smell. He said, this is great. He said, you mind if I try it? He said, no. He said, you ever seen your brain? Have you ever felt it, touched it, heard it, smelt it? The guy said, no. He said, then by your own theory, sir, you ain't got no brain. Glory. Now, it sounded good when he run it out there, but it wasn't anything to it. And we've got preachers that are sinking us in with the word when they're not giving us the true word, because it is the true word is the only thing that will help you when you're in trouble. Amen. We've got to be able to quote scripture, but understand Satan has his own version, and his version is not ever going to be the right. You can't prove it. Paul writes to the Corinthian church that they were blinded by the god of this world. What does that mean? They were fixed through the power of the anointing of the devil to keep from seeing the reality of what God wanted them to hear. And if we're like that, we fall temptation to the devil. But if we live for God, walk with God, we are justified through the power of the grace of God. Could you say amen? Amen. Please stay with me for just a moment. But you not only got to have the Spirit, you got to have the Word, but you got to have commitment. This is a problem we have in the church world. We got a lot of people who love God on Sunday, but they don't love him during the week. We've got to be committed to God. This has to be a 24/7, 365 day out of the year lifestyle. Commitment. When Jesus quoted scripture to the devil, it wasn't just to impress him. It was to make him know, that's what I'm committed to. I'm committed to this lifestyle. I'm committed to living this way. Come on, church. Somebody say, now, preacher, what are you talking about? The Bible said there's some things I got to run away from. Adultery, idolatry, fornication, youthful lust. That means I don't fool with those things, because I'm liable to mess up in them. Hello? So if I've got markers telling me not what to get around, why do I spend all my time trying to get in the middle of it? Because if I'm committed, I don't want to be around stuff that can uncommit me. Hello? I don't come to church to find a girlfriend. I come to church to find God. And if all I'm here for is to find a girlfriend, I ain't got the right reason for being there. And let me, I got some folks going, no, I'm serious. You don't come to church to find a spouse. You don't come to church to find girlfriends. You don't come to church to get jobs or get rich. You come to church to find God. God then will add all those other things to you. Back me up, church. I got some folks upset right now because they came for the wrong reasons. But it doesn't matter why you come. Listen, I came to buy booze and got saved because I didn't know I was at church. So it ain't no reason why you got here. All that matters is you're here. There is a God that loves you, a God that don't want to see you fall, a God that don't want to see you go to hell, a God that wants to wash away your sins and blot them out and give you a new life. And all you got to do is believe, and it doesn't matter what got you here. All that matters is how you leave. If you came for the wrong reason, but you leave with the right way, it was all worth it. Could you say amen? Listen. We've got to be committed. James 4 and 7, I skipped some stuff, but I'm going down there to that. He said, submit yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What did he say? Submit yourself to God. Didn't say resist the devil first. He said, submit yourself to God first. Then you can resist the devil. Amen. Just for the fun of it, James 1:22 said, but ye are doers of the word and not hearers only. In other words, I don't just hear the word, I do it. And I'm not going to read all of Psalms 119, 1 through 11, but you can. But listen to what he said. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The psalmist prays that his heart will be committed to doing what the word said. The psalmist also says that he puts the word in his heart, that he can do good even when evil is present. So what are you getting at, preacher? It's time for some of us to realize what John in 1 John said, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God shall abide forever. What are you talking about? Troubles are going to come. Temptation is going to come, started in the first family, and it's been going on all along. But we have a God who said you can overcome the world, and you can overcome temptation if you're willing to walk in the Spirit, study in the Word, and be committed to God. You can make it in this world. Hello? It just simply this. God doesn't want anybody to perish. Nobody goes to hell because God sent them there. They go there because they won't turn around. Stand with me all over the house. You're here this morning, May 22nd, 2016. You walked in this back door for whatever reason. But the great thing about it is there's a God here who came through that door with a purpose. And that was to give everybody here an opportunity to believe in him and have everlasting life. And you know what the reality is? God doesn't care what you did yesterday. He don't care about what you've been thinking about while this service is going on. All he's concerned about is your eternal soul. He died on a cross so you could have everlasting life. And all he's asking you to do is believe in him. And he will give you life like you've never known it. Some of you this morning need to get some red out. And you need to get some stuff in your brain washed out of the way. You need to get some stuff in your heart moved out of the way. Because God wants to use you like you've never been used before. But you keep going from one battle to the next because you will not let God take control of your life. You say, preacher, you're not going to have problems? Sure you will. But it's a whole lot easier to go through the storm if he's the one driving the boat instead of you. Because he knows how to get through to navigate those waters that are bad, that trouble that's coming. He knows how to move you into a place to overcome it. How do you fight temptation? The Holy Spirit, the Word, commitment. God will provide the Spirit and the Word. You've got to make the commitment. But if you're committed, God will bring you out.
Father, we thank you this morning for your love, for your mercy, for the power of your divine grace. God, I believe you to touch, believe you to move, believe you to minister. Father, in Jesus' precious name, Lord, have your way. In Jesus' name.